You know, I remember, Lloyd, while Jamie was gallivanting in South Carolina on her vacation.
I was gallivanting.
We were talking about Iran and Israel and all the things that were going on. And one of the things, Jamie, that Lloyd mentioned was that, all right, well, what happens to these other, you know, adversarial countries to the United States, the Russias, the Chinas of the world? Mm-hmm. How are they going to deal with Iran? And, you know, I kind of made the point where I don't know that they really want to get involved.
You're right.
I mean, Putin's got his own stuff going on. China's got this back and forth with the United States. I think that whenever another, you know, quote unquote world power is in some trouble, everybody else just kind of keeps their distance.
Yeah.
And it does feel a little bit like that's what's happening now with China and Russia when it comes to the Iran situation. Austin Gullett's a retired lieutenant commander, former Navy intelligence officer, and joins us this morning. Austin, happy Monday. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah, I hope everybody had a great fourth. Good to be here.
So why would China and Russia be keeping their distance from Iran at this point?
Yeah, a lot of the things you just mentioned. Iran is a sinking ship, right? All their proxies are weakened. And, you know, strategically, their values don't really align with Russia and China. Russia and China are very weary of Islam. They view Islam, the growth of it, as alarming. They view it with cautious, where obviously Iran is a myopic theocracy. And so that's a major divide. So I think it's easy when world events or, you know, the status quo is going on to sort of, you know, align together and let's, you know, let's all celebrate our disdain for the U.S. But when, you know, when things like the war in Iran happen and you have to take a side and tangibly, you know, Russia and China take a step back because they know it's ultimately not in their best interest to invest too heavily in Iran.
You know, and many Americans might be surprised to learn that while China denounces the West, it also wants stability in places like the Middle East to protect its oil supply. So how does China balance this tightrope?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you go back to you know, President Xi and, you know, his father coming up in the 50s and studying communism, now they look to avoid what happened to Russia in the 90s and with the collapse of communism and their society in general. And so they made a lot of efforts to avoid that. I saw a term I thought captures it pretty well. China is playing a game of strategic stalemate, where they avoid direct conflict with the U.S. While holding China's ground in a protracted, all-encompassing competition. That China also seeks to avoid isolation, like Russia did, certainly after fall of communism, and even as recently as 14 with Crimea. Russia's kind of been a pariah since then with sanctions and worldview. So, you know, in China, and then Xi said, we economically, you know, we've got to go in hyperdrive and produce a lot of goods and export them and get people dependent on our goods. And then on the oil piece, you're absolutely right. Another piece why I think China didn't jump in bed with Iran after this is China's heavily reliant on Saudi. Saudi exports of oil, 40% of Saudi's oil goes to China and India. So China's playing a much bigger strategic game.
That was going to be my question. Because of China's ties to Saudi Arabia and the UAE, maybe that's why they don't want to get involved.
Right. You know, obviously, Saudi and Iran have a very colorful history of not getting along, like proxy wars in Yemen and ruptured relations. I think up until 2023, they had 7 years of sort of formal ruptured relations. So, yeah, and then with oil, and as Saudi continues to emerge as, you know, with their global presence and influence, you know, Iran outside of, you know, harassing Israel and saying bad things about the U.S. and, you know, enriching uranium, they really don't bring a lot to sort of the global stage. And China's much, much more invested in that long-term competition with the U.S. and investing in Iran is not going to get them there.
Feels kind of like we're on the razor's edge here, where things can tip one way or another depending on some decisions that are made. Is that, and does Donald Trump's influence over what goes on with the United States and how we treat international affairs, is that playing a role in some of the decisions from Putin or Xi or anybody else?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, Xi and Putin know that Trump is a very serious actor. He's a little bit unpredictable, which wields its own power and influence. And he's proven time and time again that he will take action, you know, via militarily with the strikes or via tariffs. Trump just announced yesterday that there's going to be an additional 10% tariff on BRIC-aligned countries, which obviously, you know, Russia and China are the two main entities in BRIC. So sort of further, you know, combating there any countries that are anti-U.S. So and ultimately, like we've discussed, Putin, I think if Putin can find an end to the war in Ukraine, then I think he sees long-term easing of sanctions and business opportunities with President Trump, you know, as the ultimate negotiator. So I think Trump is playing an interesting game of keeping Putin and Xi, you know, keenly interested in long-term negotiations, unlike, you know, administrations prior.
You know, and looking, Austin, at North Korea, I mean, they were the only ones that seems to have actually sent boots on the ground. Does this make it, you know, Russia's most reliable partner right now? And what does Pyongyang get from it?
Yeah, I mean, Russia and North Korea, they're the only countries that actually have a mutual defense treaty, a formal one signed between the countries. So, yeah, I mean, Caddy's poor North Koreans just getting shipped to Russia to fight this war. It's just, I mean, what a sort of a sad state all around. But yeah, outside China, sort of helping out behind the scenes, building up Russia's industrial base. China has been hesitant to get too involved in the Russia-Ukraine conflict, other than sort of announced, you know, somewhat tempered support for Russia. So, yeah, I mean, besides the North Korean troops going over, there's really not a lot of support for China. I mean, Iran's given Russia oil, but outside of that, nothing significant.
Mm. Interesting stuff. Something to certainly keep an eye on. Austin Gullah, thank you for your time and insight as always. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you do the same. But this is the world we live in now, where yeah, you know, these decisions, you know, on the geopolitical stage are magnified when you've got all of these players on the board and what Iran is going through right now, where they are severely weakened, how that impacts the decisions made by the Trump administration, Putin, and the rest. It's a very interesting topic. All right, it's going to do it for us. We will see you tomorrow, same time, same place. Kevin Dietz and Altalk coming your way next. Have a good one.